Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news recorded on Wednesday the 12th of July. I'm Louise.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Joyce.
And your sound engineers this week are Martin and John. This week we welcome the following new members: Barbara Stokes, Lillian Gordon, Anthony Griffiths, Jean Jennings, Flora Pierce and Rosemary Langbourne. We hope you will enjoy receiving your discs. Next, we would like to say a big thank you to the listeners who have kindly sent us a donation last week towards the funding of our Talking News and magazine. They are Betty Pearson. So once again, thank you for your donations, which really count towards the running of the Talking newspaper and magazine. And now Joyce will start us off with the news.
A Dudley man who attacked a 73-year-old security guard with a shovel during a sickening 30-minute beating has been jailed for 14 years. Lee Parsons broke into Stoke Forgings metal factory in Briley Hill on March the 19th, pulling on a pair of overalls to blend in as a site worker, but was caught rummaging through an office by Joginder Singh Mathew. CCTV caught Parsons, of no fixed address, trying to talk his way out of the situation before suddenly punching Mr. Mathew to the floor and repeatedly hitting him around the head and the body with a shovel. Fellow guards found him hours later lying in a pool of blood, and because of the extent of his injuries, it was initially suspected that he'd been involved in an industrial accident. Mr. Mathew, a well-liked character who'd worked at the factory for 35 years before becoming a guard, suffered severe head injuries and remained in hospital for 6 weeks. Detectives conducted checks at addresses in the local area and found 44-year-old Parsons lying low at a shared accommodation building in Highgate Road, Dudley. His fingerprints matched those found on the shovel, and examination of a pair of his jeans revealed blood that was forensically matched to Mr. Mathew. He was charged with attempted murder and at Wolverhampton Crown Court on Thursday, July the 6th, he was jailed for 14 years, having admitted the offence at an earlier hearing. West Midlands Police Detective Constable Paul Widdall from Force CID said the CCTV coverage footage was truly shocking. This was a prolonged, vicious attack, and at times Parsons can be seen shouting at and goading the victim as he lay defenceless on the ground. At one stage, Mr. Mathew did manage to stagger away a short distance, but was followed by Parsons and set upon again. Mr. Mathew was in critical care for many weeks. I'm delighted he pulled through, but we could easily have been looking at a murder investigation. I am pleased that the court has recognised the severity of the assault and handed down a lengthy prison sentence. Parsons is clearly a danger to the public, and people are safer with him behind bars. I also want to pay my respects to Mr. Mathew. He has shown great courage and a fantastic mindset. In fact, when he came around in hospital, the first thing he wanted to know was if anything had been stolen. And when told no, he replied, "I did my job then." In a statement, a family member said, "We are pleased with the swiftness in which the offender was apprehended. Dad is recovering at home, and as a family, we would like to draw a closure on this incident. We just want to give Dad time to recuperate with his family, hopefully make a full recovery, and for him to enjoy his retirement."
Brazen thieves have made off with a man's car after he took them out for a test drive. Tony Chima, a 43-year-old project manager from Castlecroft, was selling his car, a black Audi A5 coupe, at his parents' house in Finchfield. He had listed the car, which had cost him £17,000, in Auto Trader 3 weeks ago, and on Thursday at 2:45 p.m. was visited by a man and a woman, who were dropped off by a red Honda Jazz. He took the pair out for a test drive in the two-door coupe, and during the ride, the woman sat in the back of the car seemed to become ill. Tony said the woman appeared to be pregnant, although I'm not sure whether she was. We were on our way back from the drive and she started to retch. Her partner said, "I've got to stop, I've got to stop, get some tissues." I said that we were almost home and we should go there to help her. We pulled up and I got out of the passenger side, leaving the door open. As soon as I got out, they drove off really fast, with the door wide open. The thieves sped off in the car, driving onto the Compton Road before disappearing out of sight. Tony said, "I can't believe it. My first reaction was total shock. You don't expect anything like that to happen to you." I immediately went into the house to call the police. Tony was selling the car as he had just purchased a new vehicle for work. CCTV captured the moment the thieves got away. Tony said, "I approached the neighbours for their CCTV footage and you can see the thieves go off in the car along Compton Road. I just hope the police are able to track them down." Tony added an undisclosed reward will be offered if it leads to him receiving his car back in one piece. Sergeant Mike Sanders from the investigation team at Wolverhampton Police said, "It's understood the victim placed his black Audi A5 TDI coupe for sale on Auto Trader and that a man and a woman got in touch, purporting to be potential buyers. They arrived on Thursday afternoon, 29th of June, and asked to go out for a test drive. But when they returned and pulled up outside the man's house, the male offender sped off with the woman in the back seat."
Bastis, a Black Country charity for the elderly, have taken the sad decision to shut down their Starbridge daycare facility after losing vital funds and being hit with extra costs. Edge Concern Starbridge and Halsewin is to close its daycare centre based at the Mary Stephen Centre in Old Swinford at the end of the summer. Chief Officer Dion Ledge said existing clients who attended the facility, which has been going for 24 years, will be offered the chance to enjoy daycare at the charity's Green Lion Centre in Blackheath, but she described the decision to end the service in Starbridge as very upsetting. Up to 6 members of staff, some of whom have notched up many years with Age Concern, may also lose their jobs. Dion said, "It is very sad. This is the only thing we can do to try and save daycare." The charity was badly hit by the loss of its annual local authority grant, which took effect from April the 1st this year. And on top of that, Dudley Council bosses this year asked for £15,400 rent for the space used by Age Concern at the Mary Stephen Centre in Hagley Road, which is managed by the authority on behalf of the Ernest Stevens Trust. In previous years, the charity has been permitted to use the centre free of charge, but as the cash-strapped council tightened its belt, groups and organisations using the building were told they would have to pay. Dion said losing the funds and being hit with unexpected costs for the Mary Stephen Centre, in addition to bills at the charity's Green Lion and Elton Centre sites, all added up to be too much. She said daycare charges had already been increased, plus meal prices at the Elton Centre, to help make ends meet. But she added, "To make it really self-funding, the costs would have to increase phenomenally." She stressed meals, activities, trips and holidays would continue to be offered at the Elton Centre, next to Starbridge Interchange bus and train station, and that daycare would continue to be provided at the Mary Stephen Centre until Friday, September the 1st. But she admitted it would be a challenge to encourage elderly clients to transfer to the daycare centre at Green Lion. She said, "It's really upsetting. I feel for the clients and the staff." A 3-week consultation regarding possible redundancies got underway on Monday, July the 3rd, she added.
A revamp of traffic lights in a Black Country borough will be carried out after more than £600,000 was secured from the government. Traffic signals along the A461 through Briley Hill and the A4101 in Pensnet and King Swinford will be refurbished by Dudley Council. The local authority has secured £660,000 from the Department for Transport to spend on the maintenance. Residents living along the roads can expect to face delays while the work is being carried out. It is expected to begin this summer and will tie in to improve transport infrastructure ahead of the new Midland Metro tram line, which will run from Wensbury to Dudley. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Cabinet Member for Environment Services, said, "Like any other work such as this, disruption is expected. We will notify residents if they will be impacted, but we will try and keep disruption to a minimum. The traffic lights which will be worked on are old and outdated. The work will hopefully start in summer. 8 signal intersections will be improved. New sensory signals will be fitted to the signals, bringing them up to date with state-of-the-art technology." Councillor Hilary Bills, Shadow Cabinet Member for Environmental Services, said, "The council is always updating traffic lights. The thing about traffic lights is, if traffic lights don't work, it causes gridlock on the roads. Traffic lights around Merry Hill in Brierley Hill were updated 2 years ago. This type of work causes disruption, but on the other hand is beneficial for motorists. The traffic light improvements come ahead of major road improvement to a busy transport corridor in Pensnet. Work totalling £6.3 million has started to widen the High Street, which will see two lanes introduced in both directions. There will also be two new sets of traffic lights and additional pedestrian crossings."
The Black Country Living Museum's new visitor centre moves a step closer as architects are appointed. Napier Clark Architects will design the centre, which is the central feature of a £21.7 million Forging Ahead development project at the Tipton Road attraction based in Dudley. The visitor centre will allow the site to link up more closely with other attractions at Castle Hill in Dudley, such as Dudley Zoo and Dudley Castle. The Heritage Lottery Fund has provided £10 million, which will allow the attraction to be expanded by a third under new plans, which will also incorporate a new 1940s to 60s town. A total of 24 architects across Europe applied to carry out the build, with Buckinghamshire-based Napier Clark Architects successfully winning the bid. Andrew Lovett, Chief Executive at BCLM, said, "The whole selection panel was very impressed with the highly experienced and enthusiastic team Napier Clark Architects had brought together on their pitch. They really seem to understand what we are trying to achieve. We hope to a new contemporary visitor centre will provide a visually fascinating juxtaposition to the historical area of the museum site and create an excellent welcoming experience for our visitors. The funding has proved a major boost for the museum and Black Country tourism as a whole. The upgrade is set to bring in an extra 500,000 visitors through the attraction's doors each year. It will bring in a new line, a new time period to the attraction and focus on the Black Country in the post-war period, up to the closure of the Baggeridge coal mine in Sedgley in 1968. The visitor centre will be a welcome point for up to 5,000 visitors a day as visitor numbers are expected to grow. Steve Clark, who is a director of Napier Clark Architects, alongside Amy Napier, said, "We are delighted to have been appointed by the Black Country Living Museum to design its new visitors' welcome facilities. It's an important project for one of the UK's most interesting museums, and very exciting for Napier Clark to take forward our most significant cultural project to date.
A burglar has been jailed after he bled on a mattress during a botched ride in Hagley, leaving two children traumatised and a family holiday ruined. Judge Nicholas Cole, sitting at Worcester Crown Court, said burglars like Stephen Weston were the bane of lawful members of society, as he sentenced him on Friday, June the 30th. The 38-year-old only pleaded guilty on the day of his trial and failed to attend the court on June the 15th, meaning a bench warrant was issued for his arrest. Weston, of Vicarage Road, Halsewin, raided a home in Worcester Road, Hagley, on August the 18th last year, stealing a Samsung tablet and £33 in cash, but he left his blood on a mattress, which allowed police to get a DNA sample. The cost of the burglary totalled £1,590.44, including the value of the tablet and damage to doors, windows and the bloodstained mattress, which had to be replaced. Lee Egan, prosecuting, said the two children, aged 8 and 11, were now too afraid to go upstairs by themselves. One member of the family said in a victim statement, "I can't stress enough the emotional impact this break-in has had on our family, especially my children." Weston had 24 previous convictions for 66 offences dating back to 1997, including various non-dwelling burglaries, six in 2004 alone. Thomas Kenning, defending, asked the judge to defer sentencing and said Weston had been crime-free for 2.5 years, which he described as a considerable period. Weston was motivated to complete a drug rehabilitation requirement, he told the court. "He's very conscious of his drug problem and wants to beat it. In his own words, and these are his own words, he said, 'I'm sick to death of things being the way they are. I want to prove I can do better. I have to sort myself out or I will end up dead and my kids will end up without their dad,' said Mr. Kenning. In sentencing, Judge Nicholas Cole said, "Such burglaries are the bane of lawful members of society. People who make their home do so in the wish and expectation that they will be able to leave their possessions safe when they go out for the day. It was the first day of their holiday. Doubtless that holiday was ruined as a result of being informed their home had been broken into. You were part of a group of three. Two children no longer wish to go upstairs alone, and an adult daughter does not like to stay alone in the property." He said Weston had a high risk of offending and sentenced him to 16 months in custody and an extra 2 weeks to be served consecutively for failing to surrender. No compensation or costs were awarded.
A thug who attacked a father of three with a golf club, shattering his ribs and puncturing a lung, has been spared jail. Victim Christopher Ratcliffe called at Michael Sargent's house after he discovered that his wife and three children were there after she had walked out on him earlier in the day, a court heard. Wolverhampton Crown Court was told how Mr. Ratcliffe had declined an invitation to enter the house in Sedgley, Dudley, choosing to wait on a wall opposite instead. But then Sergeant, aged 21, came running out of the house with a golf club, believed to be a three wood, hidden behind his back, and he took a full swing at Mr. Ratcliffe, cracking him in the ribs. Mr. Ratcliffe's three young children witnessed the assault as they watched from the front window of the Rowan Road home. The victim was taken to New Cross Hospital, but later collapsed at his home when it was discovered he had a broken rib and a punctured lung. Sergeant was arrested later in the day after being found hiding in a disused coal shed where the golf club was also discovered. He was bailed, but twice failed to attend court before eventually handing himself in. The defendant appeared at the Crown Court via a video link from Her Majesty's Prison, Birmingham. He was given a total of a 15-month jail term, suspended for a year and a half, after he pleaded guilty to unlawful wounding following the attack. Of this, 14 months was for unlawful wounding and 1 month for breaching bail. Judge Peter Berry described Sargent's attack as a serious assault, but agreed to suspend his sentence.
A cowboy builder who preyed on older women has been locked up for 18 months. Shameless Stephen Sperling conned one 75-year-old into paying almost £17,500, twice the proper charge, for shoddy work on her Halesowen home that did not need doing. Then he fleeced a 62-year-old out of £1,080 for repairs that were never carried out, to an alleged hole in the roof along with faulty guttering and rotting wood, which he said had to be paid for in cash before he started work. Wolverhampton Crown Court heard. The callous 41-year-old, trading as Aspect Roofing, twice took her from the Cradley Heath address to the bank to withdraw more money before disappearing with it, explained Miss Emma Rutherford, prosecuting. Sperling repaired paving at the Halesowen home of the older victim before spotting other alleged problems with a chimney, drains and damp patches in the garage, which he offered to fix in October 2013. She trusted him and agreed. Special paint put on the garage floor and walls cracked almost immediately. He promised to put it right, but he never returned, prompting the victim to contact Dudley Trading Standards officers in April 2014. A chartered surveyor said the paint was worthless, just like the drain that was not even connected to a channel or underground system. The rear chimney and flashing had not been touched, and repairs to the paving and draining channel were well below the standard expected from a reasonable, competent operative, concluded an official report that reckoned the reasonable cost for the work, if carried out properly, was £8,300. Sperling was traced and interviewed, but went on the run, finally giving himself up in March this year. Miss Ramya Nagesh, defending, said he had been a competent roofer and a builder for 20 years before his life started to unravel and he turned to drink. He admitted running a business to defraud customers between October 2013 and March 2014, trading without professional diligence and unfair trading. Sperling, of no fixed address, was jailed by recorder Nicholas Seyfried, QC, who told him, "You ripped off elderly customers by doing shoddy and unnecessary work while charging them too much. You milked them for money in a gross breach of trust. They expected you to do the work properly, but you did not. You are a cowboy builder."
Our state inspectors have today praised Dudley Council for the improvements made to its services for children and young people. The comments made by the regulatory body follow the third monitoring visit by government inspectors since the authority's Children's Services Department was rated as inadequate in April 2016. In a letter to Dudley's Strategic Director for People, Tony Oakman, Government Inspector Jenny Turnross said the council is systematically and diligently addressing the actions in the improvement plan, and this work is beginning to make a positive difference to children. She goes on to say, "Social work practice continues to improve. This means that more children, particularly those who have recently become looked after, receive a better service. There has been a significant improvement in the impact of the work of the independent reviewing officers, IROs. Furthermore, social work caseloads have also reduced to a manageable level. As a result, social workers and IROs spend more time with children." Praise was also given to the work to create a positive learning culture for staff and the continued success of its Back to Basics training. Councillor Anne Millwood, Cabinet Member for Children's Services, said, "We are delighted to have received a third successful monitoring visit, which demonstrates we are moving in the right direction to transform services. Since the inspection last year, we have worked extremely hard to turn things around. We are pleased inspectors have recognised the enthusiasm and commitment of staff and the improvements we are making to ensure children are safe and receive appropriate care and support. The report does highlight areas where improvements still need to be made, and we have plans in place to address these as a matter of urgency as we move forward. The letter does say that there is an insufficient number of adopters who are approved as foster carers, and more needs to be done to support children to achieve permanency through foster-to-adopt arrangements. It also says family, friends and carers do not always receive appropriate support and guidance from the fostering service, leaving new carers with a number of important unmet needs. The council will continue to receive visits from Ofsted inspectors at regular intervals over the coming months as it continues to implement improvements.
A total of 160 cases of female genital mutilation were reported for the first time in the Black Country and Staffordshire during the last 12 months, according to new figures. The statistics published this week by NHS Digital also show that there were 230 total attendances at National Health Service hospitals and doctor surgeries in the same period where the practice known as FGM was identified, or a medical procedure for FGM was undertaken. FGM is a procedure where the female genitals are deliberately cut, injured or changed, but where there is no medical reason for this to be done. It is usually carried out on young girls between infancy and the age of 15. It is illegal in the UK and can seriously harm the health of women and girls. In Sandwell, there were 125 total attendances between April 2016 and March this year, and 75 newly recorded cases. In Wolverhampton, there were 45 attendances, of which 25 were new cases. Meanwhile, there were 30, 25 and 5 attendances in Dudley, Walsall and Staffordshire respectively, of which all were being reported for the first time. An NSPCC spokesman said, "Once more, these figures highlight that FGM continues to affect hundreds of girls and women living in communities across England. FGM is child abuse. Despite being illegal for over 30 years, too many people are still being subjected to it, and it is right that health services have started to properly record evidence of this horrendous practice." The NSPCC helpline is contacted more than once a day by people worried about girls who may have suffered or are at risk of FGM. It takes courage to report concerns, as many feel ashamed or worry that they will betray their friends and family. But we need to end the silence that surrounds FGM to better protect children. Across the country, National Health Service professionals in England have reported 9,179 attendances where FGM was identified, or a procedure for FGM was undertaken. Of these, 5,391 were newly recorded cases. Of the newly recorded cases, 112 involved women and girls who were born in the UK in 57 cases. The practice had been undertaken in the UK.
A landmark Haildon building could soon be no more. The prominent town centre building, which is home to a gym, martial arts club, taxi company and tyre garage, is set to be demolished. Businesses at Pioneer House in Haildon were informed of the decision by their landlord just days ago, along with the bombshell that they may have to leave the premises in less than 3 months. It could be knocked down as soon as October, according to the proposals lodged with the council planners on June the 30th. One business owner, who didn't wish to be named, said he was gutted at the decision. He explained, "We have been just left in the dark about it. Our organisation is at the heart of the community, and this has come out of the blue. We are gutted. It is unreasonable to be given such short notice and tell us to get out. The greater good of everyone needs to be thought about. The building is well known in Halesowen. It's a common part of the town, along with the buildings such as the swimming baths, and it has been there for several years." Landlord Khajrao Omidivar said that all businesses had been aware that plans could go forward for demolition at any time. He said he had yet to decide how the site will be used once the building is levelled. He said, "In our tenancy agreement, we had provisions for development and demolition to give notice to the tenants, and most of their tenancy agreements are short-term anyway. At this point, I am looking into giving them more time to move out and find alternative facilities. I want to work with them and accommodate them as best as possible. I am here to talk and to help them." The building currently occupies KMM Tyres, APT Health and Fitness, Gracie Barra Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Star Taxis. It was most known for housing Halesowen Sports Club until a fire forced it to move last year. It sits next to one of the town centre's largest car parks and Benjamin's banqueting suite. Councillor Stuart Henley, who represents the Halesowen North Ward, said, "I am disappointed to hear that this building could be demolished. Ultimately, such a decision should have been discussed with the businesses first. It's only fair." In 2010, the Halesowen Area Action Plan by Dudley Council outlined 9 areas for development in the town centre. Pioneer House was one of these, alongside the Cornbow Hall, Maybrook House and Fountain House, both of these which have seen huge investments in recent years.
And with that final news item from Margaret, we now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Louise.
Bye-bye from Margaret.
And goodbye from Joyce.